Today on Family Talk.
Addictions are hard to beat, and some would say nearly impossible. But Becky Tirabassi not only overcame her addictions, but through the help of God, was also radically transformed for the better. How is this possible? On today's edition of Family Talk, you'll find out. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and today we're going to explore the topic of overcoming addiction. All of us either struggle with addictive behavior, or we know someone who does. And our guest today, Becky Tirabassi, is no different. Her story is moving and inspirational, and in just a moment, my dad will introduce her to you. But before we get to the program, I need to let you know that there is only 1 week left to take advantage of our special May offer. For every donation we receive this month, we'll send you a copy of my dad's book, Love for a Lifetime, in which he shares the powerful biblical insights for building a marriage that will not only last, but thrive. We'll also send you the corresponding DVD from our new Building a Family Legacy film series. Click the link at the top of drjamesdobson.org or call us at 877-732-6825. Let's get to the program now. Here is my dad and Becky Tirabassi on today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Becky Tirabassi, a celebrated author, a speaker, and the founder of an organization called Change Your Life Incorporated, which is a company that is formed to encourage, teach, and motivate people to achieve their goals and improve their relationships and find balance in their lives. Becky has authored numerous books and other materials related to prayer and health. She's written one now called Change Your Life, Achieve a Healthy Body, Heal Relationships, and Connect with God. She's been doing this work for a long time. Becky, welcome. I'm really delighted to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
You and I cross paths back and forth at the National Day of Prayer and other places. You sit here at this moment looking like a very together, well-controlled, motivated person. It hasn't always been that way, has it? You were kind of a mess when you were younger. Is that an accurate statement?
I was an alcoholic teenager who got into drugs and then immorality. By the time I was 21, I became suicidal because I had done such embarrassing and humiliating things that I hit rock bottom. Now, I can preface that by saying I was born in the 50s. I was born into a family that every Sunday you got in a car and you drove to the corner church and you would sit, kneel, stand, and then kind of scream and yell and holler all the way home. And I had a religious background, traditions, but when I left home at 17 and I left home in an alcoholic, rebellious mode of, you know, I'm out of here. I don't want to be a part of this family. I'm going to college. I'm finding myself, well, you know, rock bottom at 21. I could only look up. And God used a court hearing with a lawyer who took me by the elbow and said, if you lie on the stand, you will be crucified. Now, as I mentioned, I had gone to church every single Sunday as a child.
How'd you get off track? I mean, having that kind of background in the church and everything.
I'll tell you what I really believe it is. It was alcohol. My father was an alcoholic and his father was an alcoholic. And as a cheerleader, synchronized swimmer, straight A student, I wanted to be popular. And kids who were popular drank in the 70s and the 60s.
They still do, unfortunately.
Well, exactly. And I drank more than the average. The first time I drank more than anyone else. And that is the common thread of an alcoholic, that you can consume more liquor. Now, I did this at 15, 16. By 16, I was blacking out, passing out, skipping classes, shoplifting. I mean, I literally went 180 degrees from a spunky, fun, cheerleading captain, synchronized swimmer, traveled all over the United States to complete alcoholic, smoked 2 packs of cigarettes a day, foul, filthy mouth, all by 16, graduated a year early at 17, out of the house.
You had an eating disorder too, didn't you? Or at least you overate.
Well, I did. I had everything, Dr. Dobson. From the time you drink too much, I put on probably 30 pounds, and some of my friends gave me some bootleg drugs. We would buy speed. We would take dope. I was filled with drugs or alcohol. My life, really, at 21, there really wasn't another day left when I went to this court hearing and this lawyer said to me, you're done. You can't lie or I thought he was telling me I was going to jail, at which point—
What had you done?
I'd hit a car while drinking, and a person was in the car, and I had actually gotten knocked out and taken to the hospital, and they didn't find me in time to take the alcohol test, so they couldn't really—
throw the book at you.
Right. But here I am, just a frightened 21-year-old, knowing that I am an addict and I am immoral and I am, I couldn't even stand myself. And I have this personality where you just have to have fun. And I couldn't see 20 years in an organization for alcoholics or a hospital to get better. I'm not that kind of person. So it was like do or die, sink or swim. And when he said, you are going to be crucified. I literally, the only person I'd ever heard of who was crucified was Jesus Christ.
He really used that word?
He did. And I'm sure God placed it in him because it was a moment in time. It was a day I will never forget. It was August 26th, 1976. I told the truth at the court hearing, what I could remember, which wasn't much. And I left the court hearing, which was about 20 miles from where I was living in Monterey, California, and I drove to a church, the kind of church my parents had raised me in. Mm-hmm. I did not know the name of the church. I did not know the name of the pastor. I went in the doors of this, and it was an outside-type church so that I had to walk down outside steps to find someone. It was weekday. No one was really there, and I found the janitor. And the janitor's name was Ralph, and I started to cry, and I said, I need help. Mm-hmm. And he said, let's just say a prayer. Now, I'm a disco dancing, living with my boyfriend, drug-taking, alcoholic, speed freak, foul-mouthed young woman who says, okay, I had nowhere else to go. I had nothing. I had not a day left. I was suicidal, completely suicidal. All I could think of is, you got to have a drink, you've got to have a drink. Knowing that if I had one, I wouldn't know what I would do with my body, which had gotten me into this trouble. And I said, okay. He said, just ask Jesus to come into your heart. Now, I have to tell you, at that time in the 70s, Jesus freaks were people you really didn't like if you were of my lifestyle. And I pretty much felt like, oh, okay, this is what this guy is. But I knew that I had nowhere to go. So I said, dear Jesus, come into my heart. So on this day, when I said this prayer, it was very supernatural because he said, ask him to forgive you of any sins. If you can think of them, name them. Well, I have a very vivid memory. And as I began to explain everything I had done probably in the last 2 months, this guy's eyes were like saucers. And he was probably thinking, oh, she's way worse than I thought. And I was thinking, how can this feel good for someone to hear the worst part about you, to know that, not that he accepted me, but that he was giving me this impression that God loved me just the way I was, that he would forgive me if I would confess my sins. And little did I know, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that was the experience I was having. A shower. I was a muddy mess. And the shower was kind of long and hard and fast. And I immediately, he said, now ask God to fill you with this Holy Spirit. Well, I had only heard of the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Spirit sounded way friendlier. So I'm like, okay, fill me with your Holy Spirit. And immediately, and I can't tell you why it doesn't happen for everyone this way. I think I was so desperate, so ready, so open, so broken, so surrendered in that moment. It wasn't liturgical. It wasn't a service. It wasn't a crusade. It wasn't a Sunday school class. It was an encounter with God. A broken woman, young woman, who didn't deserve a second chance, received from God's choice of a person to minister to me, who was a janitor because he needed a second chance.
You have tears in your eyes right now. You're still emotional about that experience that took place.
Because, and this, it's a passion that won't go away.
Yeah.
There are so many people lost, and they've been churchgoers. Mm. Or they're lost because they are addicted. But life is so difficult for so many people. And the simple connection that I had with God that day radically, absolutely revolutionized my life. I quit drinking, smoking, doing drugs, and living with my boyfriend within 24 hours.
You came out of that church.
Walked out of that church.
A changed person.
A brand new person. And the janitor had said to me, the Bible says, when someone becomes a Christian, you become a brand new person inside. Old things, and of course this is Living Bible, old things pass away and all things become new. And I have to tell you, Dr. Dobson, I had to believe him. He spoke with authority, the authority of the Word of God. That is all that transpired in that moment. So that when I walked out of there, oh, and he told me that, you know, and now that you know Jesus, you've been given a free gift of eternal life. You know, this was one of the endless thoughts as a child. What if my mom dies? What if my dad dies? What if I die? No one had an answer in my denomination. If you die, well, maybe if you're good enough. Well, I was not good enough. So when he told me I had this free gift of eternal life, you know, all my problems were solved. I have a new life for earth and I'm going to heaven. What more could a girl ask for? So off I go to work where everybody knows me as one person. And I start saying, hey, come to my house. I'm going to have a Bible study with a janitor. And they're like, you've totally lost it. And some of my friends thought I did.
Becky, do you know how many people are listening to us right now who are just as lost at this moment as you were then? I mean, people
or their
who,
kids are.
Yeah, and they have no answers. They've tried everything, and they can't find a solution. And it is so easy. It is right there. He is right there waiting.
Well, that's why I wrote the book, Change Your Life, and why I went to a New York publisher and sought an ability to reach a seeker by being in bookstores where seekers go.
Now this is published by Berkeley.
Putnam, the paperbacks Berkeley.
Yeah. That is a secular publisher.
It is.
You are looking to reach out to those who don't know Christ.
Absolutely. And the simple outline is change begins with awareness. And if you hit bottom, you're aware. Some of us don't need to hit bottom. You're aware there's an area in your life that needs to change. You are empowered. You are given power to change when you admit to God, yourself, and others that you need help. You know, there are enough alcoholics in my family that could not say the words, I'm an alcoholic. And their lives did not change very much. When I admitted I was an alcoholic and needed help, and I asked God to come in and change me, it was so dramatic, the change, that my friends either thought I'd had a nervous breakdown or they wanted what I had because they had seen me smoke two packs of cigarettes a day, swear profusely. And as you look at me, when you started out, you said, oh, here's a nice put together gal. It's hard sometimes for people to believe that I could be that lost and that broken
In
and
fact,
that addicted.
You have skeptics who say it couldn't have happened.
Oh, I have a mother who will tell you the truth. She's still alive. She could relate every story. I have a boss. My boss at the time, she's now retired, but she vividly remembers when I walked into her office and said, I've asked Jesus to come into my life, and he's taken away the desire to drink, and I'm a brand new person. And she looked at me and she said, I don't fully understand what you're saying, but I see a different person. And later I was able to encourage her to come to know the Lord, as I did my parents and my brother. And then I got involved in youth work. I left California because it seemed obvious that my life there wasn't going to enhance my relationship with God. And I really was certain that I could never turn back. I had found true love. And immediately I felt a call in my life. This little janitor guy had a lot of friends who prayed and laid hands on you and did all kinds of things.
Did you ever go back and thank him?
Well, I only knew him for 3 months and I don't even know his last name, and he'll have to find me because I only know his name is Ralph.
What city was it?
Monterey, California.
Yeah.
And I know he moved. He told me he was on his way to Israel to go to share Jesus. So I think he was, you know, quite the evangelist
himself. You're
going to
see him on the other side one of these days. I'll bet you're going to give him a hug, aren't you?
But he and a few other people early on identified my call as an evangelist, which is truly just a person who wants to connect people to the living, loving God in a relevant way. And I've been passionate about doing that for 25 years, and I feel like I have finally hit a place where, I don't know, I'm in the zone.
There's no turning back, yeah, obviously.
Okay. No turning back, but I've achieved something I've been trying to do to really reach the seeker. And with this book and with the media opportunities that it's brought to be on television, I've really felt God's power and blessing. I'm moving behind something. I don't know where I'm going, but it's what I have thought He has been telling me all along I would do. I happened to be at one of the National Day of Prayer events. Dr. Bill Bright gave us all kind of a charge, a call to fast for 40 days before the end of the year for revival in America. When you know you're called by God to, you know, make a difference in this world, and if a leader in your life says, I believe God is calling us to fast and pray for revival, you have to dig in, discover, and then make a commitment of your own. Upon which I felt like God confirmed only deeper, not only should I be a fasting, praying woman, mother, evangelist, but that I should really focus on this seeker, that I should name the name of my company, Change Your Life, trademark it, service market, go for television on network, not to look for the seeker, just dig in and go at it. It's been very difficult. And I would say to you, you're right. This is beyond a miracle. It's taken everything I've had to daily, and which is another reason I'm no Shirley in the National Day of Prayer, is because I've prayed 1 hour a day for the last 17 years. And in my prayers, I feel God confirming as well as changing me. You know, the person who was out of control at 17 still has an ability to be out of control at 46. And without that daily time with God where he just not wears me down, but he can change my character.
Keeps his thumb in your back.
Oh, daily. And I came to a point last summer where I still did not see a door open, and yet I believed God was calling me. And I partook of another fast, and I believe it was kind of a final character cleansing. And shortly after that, I met Dr. Bruce Wilkinson, who said to me, and it was a random meeting. It wasn't a planned meeting. Yeah. And his first question is, what is the dream God's put in your heart? And I thought, now that was a strange first question for someone who's never met you. So I thought, well, then I might as well go for broke. And I said, to be on network television and share the living, loving God in a relevant way. He said, but if God wants to do something great in your life, he'll certainly begin with a character cleansing. Has he done that? And I thought, oh, here we go. And a few more weeks passed, and more prayer and more fasting, and unusual circumstances opened the door for me to be on the CBS Early Show. And the last day of the four-day series was almost the last day of the end of the year, which I had fasted probably over 80 days for Revival in America in between the time Dr. Bill Bright challenged all of us. Yeah. And here it was, the 29th of December, and I had an opportunity to share with 2.5 million people how God came into my life in a simple prayer. And I thought, if you never have another opportunity, go for it.
They invited you there to tell that story?
Well,
did they know what they were getting?
I don't know. I don't think so. But when it was all said and done, they said that was their favorite day, and they invited me back and asked if I would start with that story next time rather than end the series. But a genuine, authentic, changed life speaks for itself.
You deal with health matters, exercise, eating properly, many other aspects of getting your life under control. And journaling is a centerpiece of what you do. We don't have much time left. Really bring that down.
My background as a youth worker was Youth for Christ, balanced living. And it really hasn't changed. When you each of us are made up of physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual components. American women tend to focus on just the physical. Children tend to focus on just relationships. Spiritual often gets left out, and most of us never fulfill the dreams in our hearts. So in a journal, I've put 4 days, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, where you would record how to eat right and exercise regularly, where you would forgive and ask God to forgive you on a daily basis in writing, where you would give, really record how you could tithe to ministries, to send in your donation monthly. I write down everyone I send to monthly so I would not forget. Where I talk to God and listen to God in writing. So I teach handwritten journal letters to God, as well as a 365-day Bible, so that you could read through the Bible in a year and daily hear his voice, so you don't need to like get magical, mystical about it.
You do this every day.
I do, and I teach it every day, and I have for years across the country.
Where do you get the discipline to do that?
There is this compelling encounter with God that in the moment when you say, "Dear Lord, I need you," or "I love you," or help me today, he is there. And sometimes it's just his presence. But always, if you open the Bible, his word will be his voice to you.
Is it still as fresh and new today, all these years later?
I am compelled to connect people with a living, loving God. And it's proof, I guess, that I'm loved and that he's alive when I can't muster these tears. And you know, as a speaker, you tell the same story over and over. There, I prayed today that the power of the Holy Spirit, that his unction would be upon me and us.
He's here.
Because this is what people are looking for. Mm-hmm. Not a religion, but a relationship.
They're so lost, Becky. They're so lost.
but
it is just
Christians,
amazing.
Too.
You know, I meet them on the street, and they write, and they call, and they're so lost, and they don't know who they are, what the meaning of life is, or why they've been put here, or how to deal with things about themselves that they hate. You hated yourself.
Well, and I've been there, and I think that's why I'm a relevant messenger and I'm a doorkeeper. I stand at the door. Because I know if I can get you in the door, there's plenty of people to disciple you and encourage you along the way. But I'm a good doorkeeper. I'm a good doorkeeper.
Well, Becky, you're a special lady. Thank you for what you do for the kingdom. Thank you for what you do for all those people out there who are looking for answers. And you're having an opportunity to talk to them. I thank God for that.
And thanks for having me.
Becky, come back and see us. It is a pleasure, really, to have you here, and I know our listeners have loved hearing from you today.
Thank you.
Oh, what a moving and inspirational story we've heard today, featuring our guest and friend, Becky Tirabassi. If you are moved by this story and need to talk with someone, we here at Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk are ready to help. Give us a call. 877-732-6825. We have people on the phones ready to hear from you and help in whatever ways we can. And if you're not ready to talk with someone but would like to find some important resources about whatever issues you're dealing with, check out our website, drjamesdobson.org. Again, we're here for you. Coming up next time on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, don't miss a two-part program on how you can have effective family devotions with your spouse and children. This is Ryan Dobson saying God bless, thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Who doesn't want to be encouraged to make their marriage stronger? Our new Family Talk iPhone app is designed especially to uplift your marriage in a way that makes it easy for both husbands and wives to find great resources. Loaded with articles, broadcasts, and videos, the new Family Talk app will provide you practical tips on making your marriage all it can be. The customized Family Talk app tailors content around where you are in life. Whether you're a husband, wife, dad, or mom, the Family Talk app will provide you with daily inspiration to strengthen your marriage and invest into the lives of your children. The app also allows you to set personal reminders around life's greatest priorities, your faith and family. Go to drjamesdobson.org/app. Again, that's drjamesdobson.org/app to download your free customized Family Talk app today. Dr. James Dobson wants to send you a copy of an important book that is reframing the abortion issue in our country called Abortion, The Ultimate Exploitation of Women. Author Brian E. Fisher brings men face-to-face with a part they've played in the legalization of abortion in America and issues a clarion call to help bring an end to the world's most grievous Holocaust. This game-changing book also shows how ending abortion in America would not just benefit the millions of children who lose their lives each year, it would be an enormous step forward for women in their quest for equal rights and equal protection. This eye-opening resource is our gift to thank you for your donation of $50 or more today. Call Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk to request your copy at 877-732-6825 or visit our website, drjamesdobson.org.